Hi, and welcome to the 76th Ornithology Podcast. My name is Fiona Tatton, and I'll be your host. Ornithology is the digital, magazine, and professional community powered by female energy and ingenuity. We champion equal recognition and reward for everyone, sharing opportunities, ideas, and a deep pool of collective wisdom, supporting each other to be unstoppable. In this, our Women in Technology episode, I speak with Hannah Burks, mentor and junior software engineer at Northcoders. Hannah discusses ways to get more women and gender minorities into tech by creating accessible pathways for them to learn to code, as well as explaining what life's like at a coding bootcamp and the career opportunities it can open up. Welcome to the Womanthology podcast. We have Hannah Burks, and she is a mentor and junior software engineer at Northcoders. Hannah, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, nice to meet you. Glad to be here.
So we're going to learn more about Northcoders, and there's some exciting work that you're doing as well to make coding more accessible to women and people who identify as women and other underrepresented groups as well. So we'll be looking forward to chatting with you about that. So if I could get started by asking you if you could give us a bit of a run through of your educational background and career to date.
Yeah, so in school I was quite confident at topics like maths and ICT. I did enjoy them. But ultimately, I went down a bit of a different route and ended up studying acting. So I went down more of a creative path when I was in school. And throughout the experience of pursuing acting, I had to have quite a lot of different survival jobs. And that included a lot of customer service roles, hospitality. I did social media for a bit. I basically did every job going pretty much around that time, just finding different jobs here and there, survival job wise. And eventually I grew tired of these kind of jobs. And yeah, I just wanted a bit more of a challenge, something a bit more mentally stimulating, and something that I just enjoyed and felt passionate about. And like I said, when I was in school, I was definitely interested in STEM topics. So I started thinking about going down that path. And then my cousin's actually a software engineer. And she'd mentioned Northcoders to me and mentioned maybe you'd be interested in learning to code. And that was something that I'd never even thought of before. I didn't really fully understand it. When I thought of code, I thought of James Bond's secret agent, like that kind of coding. I didn't really know what it was or what it was for. So I had a little look into that. And yeah, I decided, you know what? This sounds really interesting. I'd much rather be doing this than working in customer service. This would be a real challenge. And I wanted to take on that challenge. So I signed up to Northcoders myself, completed the boot camp. And then I liked it so much when they were hiring, I decided, you know what, I'm going to apply. I'd quite like to work here as my first role. It sounds like a really good company. And it was a good starting place. So yeah, and I've been here ever since because I like it that much.
And the rest is history. Just to say as well, Hannah, I think if you wanted to be the new James Bond, either in a spy capacity or an acting capacity, you could be either of those things. But I think this is way more exciting. Way more exciting.
Yeah.
And I think Northcoders has got a really good reputation, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I got recommended Northcoders, like I said, by my cousin, because the place that she worked had hired a lot of people from Northcoders, and she'd gone down the degree path and realized, hang on, I've spent 3 years getting a degree and there's other people who are doing boot camps and they're coming in and they're really strong. So she was like, it sounds really good. So yeah, she recommended it for me. And even since being at Northcoders, the courses that are being offered have changed. There's so many new courses, software engineering being the one that I did, but there's also data engineering and Java. They've got some part-time courses coming. It's a brilliant company, and it's one of those places that have a big focus on inclusivity and trying to get more women and gender minorities into tech as well. That is very much something that they're focused on. which very much aligns with my core values.
And ours as well. So you're in the right place, Hannah. And we're going to talk a little bit more about boot camps later. But boot camp sounds like a quite scary sort of thing, but actually it couldn't be more different to that, could it? So we're going to delve into how people can learn a bit more. So you recently ran a taster event aimed at helping women finding out more. Could you tell us about the event and the format of it and how that ran and what the response was like to that?
Yeah, definitely. So the response from it has been great. Across two sessions, we've taught 20 people and we've got some feedback from those sessions. It's all been really great so far. Going forward, we're planning to run them every 6 to 7 weeks, alternating between our Manchester and Leeds office. And the sessions that we have are run in the evening. So that means people can join after work and try and fit it around their lives. And yeah, it's like this little workshop. And then at the end, we have some networking, some pizza. So it's a nice opportunity to socialize and discuss the session. The session itself, we go into the basics of code. It is a very basic level, but the aim is to give women and gender minorities a chance to learn some coding in a safe environment with our mentors and generally feel a little bit more confident moving forward with their journey into tech. Just feeling it out, seeing if it's something for them. Does this interest you? Yeah, and just getting a little bit of a taster. Of course, there's absolutely no pressure from us about enrolling on the bootcamp. It's to give people a safe space to gain a bit of confidence in starting to code and enter that world of tech.
Yeah, because I really like the idea of coding. I had an app, and I forget, it was a generic app, and it's probably going back a couple of years ago now, and it was like, do a little bit each day. I think it was HTML I would have been doing, but I was really interested in it. I think if I'd have stuck with that, I could have been really good at coding by now. But I think having people around to talk to would have maybe helped me to stay engaged, and having people to meet with at an event or like being part of a course, then you've got that group around you, because if you get stuck with something, you're not then just sat on your own trying to work out how to do it all.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, at the end, we've got that nice little networking opportunity, have some pizza, get to talk to other like-minded people who are probably in the same position as you. And yeah, it's nice as well to just be surrounded by a supportive group of women and gender minorities and realize that's something that you could definitely get into. There's other people like you.
And how long was the session? Remind us, Hannah.
It's about an hour long. And then afterwards, we have a bit of time for networking and pizza, for catching up.
So Hannah, for people without any coding experience at all, is there any way to gauge if they're going to be any good at coding, if they're going to have any sort of aptitude for that? Is it very much come along to one of the events, try it out then? Is there any other way that you can work out if you might like it or not?
Yeah, I mean, I would personally say just give it a go, because you never know. Of course, if you've previously been interested in more STEM topics or things like math, science, ICT, then there's probably more of a chance that this would appeal to you. But that's definitely not to say that if you weren't great at those topics or you didn't have that much interest when you were younger, that maybe this wouldn't appeal to you now. Like I said, I came from a creative background, acting. It's not anything to do with code. And yet I still thoroughly enjoyed it and was able to pick it up. And I know a lot of other people who come from completely different backgrounds. There isn't just one type of person in tech. And I think it's important to remember that. So yeah, I'd say just give it a go and try it out and then see if it's something that appeals for you.
And a good incentive, say, if you can get involved, come along face to face as well and actually ask all the questions there and then. Sounds like a good plan. I think I probably need to investigate one of these events, Hannah. So you'll probably see me cropping up at one of these.
Yeah, come along. Definitely.
Sounds good. Hannah, in terms of the funding that's available for things like boot camps, so there's a lot of talk about come to a coding boot camp, but how are these funded?
So there's a few different options. We do have government funding for some of our courses, our full-time ones. So yeah, we basically, for each cohort we have on those applicable courses, we have a limited number of government-funded scholarship places as part of the Skills Bootcamp scheme, which essentially makes it 100% free to study with us on our full-time boot camps. There are certain things that you need to qualify in order to get that scholarship. There is information on our website on exactly what they are, but there are things about living in the UK, passing the entry challenge, and your age and residency. But you can find out more information to see whether you would qualify for that scholarship on our website. But there's no need to apply for the scholarship separately from your bootcamp application. All you need to do is work through the application process, pass your entry challenge, and then what will happen after passing your entry challenge is our onboarding team reach out and they send you all the relevant documents. That's all done once you've passed. Like you said, we do have other options, of course, self-funded places where we have zero interest loans that you can get with certain companies. So that's something as well that you have an option for. But yeah, the government funding is something that we offer on all of our full-time courses at the moment.
So the gist is learn as much as you can, come along, find out what's going on. And basically everybody just wants you to succeed and wants to help. So whatever support there is available, then yourself and colleagues will help people to match them as best they can with what's available there. So don't be put off if you're not sure, find out what you can. And then there's always a way, basically. Some people can do quite a lot of self-development as well, can't they? So some people are completely self-taught, but that sounds like a bit more of an extreme route, which I don't think I'd do very well with.
Yeah, you could definitely go down the route of teaching yourself with YouTube and stuff like that. But the great thing about the courses is that it allows you to experience co-coding with other people, which is a big part of a lot of job places. That's the way they would work. They pair programming. So it gives you that experience. Of course, if you're stuck, you've got that supportive network of mentors, seminar leads, other students to help unstick you and explain concepts. So I think if you're the kind of person as well that struggles to stay on track or not procrastinate when it comes to learning a new skill, then it's really nice to have that scheduled time to focus on coding so that you know you're going to achieve what it is that you set out to achieve. It's definitely going to keep you focused if that's something you have concerns about.
Are there some remote options if people are either caring for family members or kids or parents or whatever, and they're restricted in what they can do face to face?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple of things. So with regards to going in person, we've got offices in Manchester, Leeds, and then we've got some little hubs in Birmingham and Newcastle. But it's an optional thing if you want to go into the office. Some people like to have that environment to focus, but the whole bootcamp is delivered over Zoom and Slack. So it's something that you can access wherever you are. So yeah, it's optional whether you want to go in person and be around that environment. But if you want, you can do the course fully remotely, which is what I did myself because I'm based in London. So I did the course completely remote and it was brilliant. And also in regards to that flexibility side of things, it's probably worth mentioning, we are also introducing a part-time course. So that's something as well that might work for people who have kids or just need a little bit more flexibility and can't commit to that full-time course. So yeah, if you're interested in finding out more about our part-time course, it's now on our website. So you could have a look at the details and what the schedule's like for that.
I think that makes it a lot less intimidating if somebody's got other jobs or they've got their responsibilities or say parenting or caring or whatever. I think that just makes it that much more accessible to people, which I think is great because it seems there's so many options available in tech and coding, but it's about breaking down those barriers and making them as accessible as possible for the broadest group of people, because it seems like the demand is there for the careers. There's massive skill shortages. So if you wanted to have a good future-proof career, it seems like you couldn't make a better choice, but it's just helping people make that transition, I think, as well.
Yeah, definitely. And anything to make it easier. And that was something that we were definitely picking up on. We wanted to increase our reach with getting more women on the course and gender minorities. And we noticed one of the biggest drop-off points was people with kids struggling to fit the course around childcare and school runs and stuff like that. So that's why we've now introduced this part-time course, because we realize that is a blocker for a lot of people. we want to bring these opportunities to as many people as possible. So if we can address the problem about fitting things around kids and, well, anyone who needs a bit of flexibility, really, then this might be an option for them.
I think anything that makes it easier for people to get started is a great idea. You mentioned that there's a few different pathways through North Coders. Could you just remind us of those?
So there's a few. So there's the software engineering course. There is data engineering, Java, and there's the part-time course as well as an option. And I'm sure if you keep an eye on our space, there might be newer ones to come eventually as well. We're always looking to add new courses and change up the courses that we've got. So yeah, it's constantly changing with the way the industry changes because I'm sure you understand things change all the time. So we have to try to adapt to what technologies are big at the moment in time and where are the most jobs, because we want to make sure people have the best chance of getting jobs after the course. So we're always keeping an eye on what technologies are in demand at the moment.
That makes perfect sense. And in terms of the different courses, so you mentioned the data one, the software one, the Java one. So what would be the different things that you'd be doing? Say on the data one, how would that be different?
So the data one is focused on backend. So dealing with data, you'll learn Python and SQL. You also do some stuff with the cloud. Whereas, say, for instance, the software engineering course or software development courses is more full stack. So you'll do JavaScript and you'll do some backend development, but then you'll also do stuff with HTML, CSS, React, and create what you see on a web page. So it's a little bit of both for that course. And then the Java course, you do a bit of front end, a bit of back end, but predominantly back end. And of course, you'd be learning Java rather than Python or JavaScript. The focus is on Java for that one. So there is a breakdown on our website exactly what each course covers and what the focus would be. But yeah, they are quite different.
So the back end is part of a website, but it's the stuff that you don't get to see as the user.
Yes. So you have your back end, which is all the stuff going on behind the scenes with the data, the storing of data, all the stuff that the user's not going to see, but the developer will. And yeah, and then the front end is what we're showing to the user. What are they going to see on their end? And the back end and the front end together come together to create something full stack, essentially.
That makes perfect sense now. You see, I'm getting the luxury of asking all the questions, all the things I've always wanted to know. This is like my own personal introduction, which is really helpful. But I think sometimes there's a lot of jargon and people might think, oh, I like that. But there's so many different facets of tech. But part of it, I think, is finding the thing that you care about and also the thing that you're hopefully going to be really good at as well. So it's demystifying a lot of the stuff. So Hannah, if things are a bit overwhelming and you're not sure where to start, what's the best way to learn about your options?
So I definitely recommend having a look at the job websites and see what's going on at the moment, what jobs are particularly hiring, and then have a look into those specific jobs. But I also think it's really important to think about where you get your enjoyment from. So we talked a little bit about front end and back end and full stack. And I'd say generally, if you're more into STEM related stuff like math, you might particularly take a liking to back end development. If you're more creative, you might enjoy front end more. If you like playing games, maybe you want to get into game development. So there's a lot of things to consider. Think about your passions and your joys and see how they can interlink with tech. Something that I really enjoyed doing was going on YouTube and looking at, there's a lot of videos around day in my life as a software engineer or day in my life as an AI engineer. And people would just vlog what their day looks like. It gives you a good idea of if you were to get into that industry yourself, what your day might look like. And then I guess decide whether that's something you could see yourself doing. Would that appeal to you? And I'm sure you probably got similar videos on things like TikTok and whatnot now. But yeah, just it can be a good insight into that world and see, would that suit me? Would that suit my lifestyle?
I always have, Hannah, desk envy when you see some of these people who are sharing what they're doing and they're working in development, whatever, and they've got loads of screens lined up beautifully. And they've got an amazing desk and it just looks like they're ready to take over the world.
Yeah, definitely. Something we all aspire to, I think.
And how can the Womanthology community engage with you and the team at North Coders?
Yeah, so getting involved with our events, such as our beginner coding workshop, also offering support and possible mentorship. That's something we've opened up a lot more now.
So if companies want to offer mentorship, is that, sorry, or individuals?
Individuals, yeah. So if you want to offer mentorship for people who are just coming out of the boot camp and have questions and want a little bit of support and a bit of guidance from someone who's already in that world, yeah, you can come forward and offer mentorship. Also, if you find yourself in a hiring position, looking at hiring from boot camps rather than just traditional routes from, if you've got a degree in computer science, so being open to hiring from boot camps. And it's probably worth mentioning for anyone that is hiring, it is free to hire from North Coders as well. So if you're looking to hire some new software engineers or developers or any of the stuff that is mentioned in our courses, then feel free to contact us and have a look at hiring from our boot camps.
It doesn't get much better than that, does it? Hannah, you're sort of solving the world's problems. You're creating solutions for everybody. I love this, for the employees, for the employers. We love that. And the final question, what is coming up next for you? What are you looking forward to? It can be in work, it can be out of work.
Yeah, so one big thing is working on a project. Myself and my colleague Neve have been working on this thing called Diversity Outreach, which is essentially workshops that we're going to take into schools to essentially inspire and open up the floor a little bit more to gender minorities, girls in particular, and those from different socioeconomic backgrounds. We're going to try and take in staff members who maybe are gender minorities or come from different socioeconomic backgrounds and try and show that there is diversity in tech and that this could be something for them. A lot of the time, they've never even considered tech or code or never come across it before. So the idea is to introduce that idea and say, this is something that you maybe never previously considered, but this could be for you. And there's other people like you in this industry. So don't ever think this isn't for me, or there aren't people like me in that industry. It's secondary schools, but right at the beginning, ideally year 7, year 8, before they choose their GCSE topics. And yeah, just introducing it then and there, because I've started to experiment a little bit more with technology. But yeah, it's getting them before they've decided on their options, just to give them a taster and say, you know, this is something you could consider if you haven't already. We're trying to normalize that tech is for everyone. So hopefully we're going to be doing that over the coming months. We've just created the workshop. So yeah, it should be fun to see where that goes. In regards to myself, trying to learn C# at the moment. So that's an ongoing thing, just learning a new skill. And going on holiday soon, so that's also a win. But yeah, lots of fun new things happening at North Coders, like Course Rise as well. Like I said, we've got the part-time course, Java. So yeah, lots of exciting things to come.
Who wouldn't want to get involved, Hannah, is what I would say. I am really excited to follow your progress. So would it be all right, Hannah, for us to keep in touch?
Absolutely.
I'm going to try and sneak along to one of the tasters, so... Thank you so much to Hannah Burks, mentor and junior software engineer at North Coders.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
It's been a pleasure. In this section of the show, we hear about contributors who have shared their stories in our new written issue. The stories include Dahlia Danila, lead iOS engineer at Bloom & Wild, discusses growing her passion for iOS development, working for the UK's most loved online florist. Dahlia explains how the tech industry serves a global audience with diverse needs and preferences, so a team that better reflects that diversity will be better equipped to design and develop products that resonate with a wider range of users. Dahlia also shares her tips to find your place in tech. Dr. Anna Matran Fernandez, lecturer in neural engineering and artificial intelligence at the University of Essex, discusses the groundbreaking work she and her team are doing to pioneer non-invasive brain-computer interface technologies that can, amongst many other things, improve quality of life for individuals with neurological conditions. And finally, content architect and strategist Kate Thomas explains how content architects advocate for end users by building systems that ensure content can be delivered at the right time in the right format to the right audience for the right reason. Do check out our website, womanthology.co.uk, to read the full stories. Sadly, that's all we have time for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, if you want to support what we do, then share the link for the show on social media and also follow the show. Your feedback is really important, so please do rate and review the show in your podcast app. Join us for our next podcast episode and written issue, where we're joined by epic women in the space sector.